It sure is good to have you all back to the Extra Point Podcast. Welcome to this episode. My name is Todd Stiles, one of the pastors at First Family Church. And so we have just come off a fantastic weekend. And we're going to look today even at the very same text that we looked at then. It was Psalm 16. And I want to today on the Extra Point Podcast, on this episode, I want to bring maybe some insight, maybe some further instruction even, we call it, maybe some observations to some words and phrases that at first glance might feel a little obscure. Now, we did mention them in our message. We talked about these in that 6 bulleted point explanation of verses 1 to 8, but we just listed them off. We didn't spend much time on any of them. What I want to do on this podcast is to pick a couple of those and give you some further insight into what those words meant, yes, theologically and historically. Why they really lean into the confidence that David expresses there and how they ultimately point us more clearly to Christ. So let's get started, shall we? I want you to notice, first of all, in verses 5 and 6, David says this. This is Psalm 16, 5 and 6. The Lord is my portion and my cup. Then he says, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. So some interesting words there, words we don't often use in our own culture, but were very common in David's time. They knew exactly what they meant. And so I would say these aren't just poetic flourishes. These aren't just metaphors that were random. They're really covenant-loaded terms. And of course, we've seen a lot about the covenant in our time in Exodus, God's covenant actions, the people's covenant response, just a lot of the covenant language in the Psalms, which often refer to things that happened in those years. And so this is, again, covenant language. They're covenant-loaded terms. Let me talk about the word portion, for instance. You see that there in verses 5 and 6. Here, this is inheritance language. It takes us back really to how the land was distributed among the tribes of Israel. In fact, every tribe received a portion. Some portions were larger, some were smaller. In fact, I believe a lot of the portions were based upon population, and they would take a census of the men, the military men, and different factors related to that. And you can find this right there in Scripture. But each tribe did receive an allotment, a portion, except for the Levites. They did not receive a portion of land. In fact, they were told that the Lord himself would be their portion. So they did not receive land. They did not receive a territory. In every right sense of the word, they received God. And so now when David says, the Lord is my portion, he says something pretty radical, that he's not depending on the land. His security is not tied to what he was given. It's not connected to his allotment geographically. This is reframing a lot of things. It's meaning his joy is not circumstantial or geographical. His joy is relational. It's not horizontal. It's vertical. This is really the meaning behind the word portion. The Lord is his allotted portion. The Lord is really his inheritance. It's where he rests. It's where he stakes his claim. It's the Lord. So it's very vertical, not horizontal. It's not circumstantial. It's relational. This is really what's behind the Lord is my portion and my cup. And every Jew, every Israelite, every Hebrew would have read this, or even when they were singing these, they would have known exactly what he was saying, that the Lord is more important than what he was given in those moments when the tribes were allotted their land, allotted their portion, were given their inheritance. All of that was valuable. It was important. It connected them to a place. He's saying, the Lord is that for me. And then he says, the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. Now, this is, again, is language we don't use much here. It's not the type of words that we talk about when we're speaking of, you know, our joy. But he says here, the lines have fallen in pleasant places. What does he mean by lines, boundary lines? Well, again, covenant language. I think he's referring here and kind of hearkening back to the promised land. When the cords that were used to divide the land, those were considered boundary lines. You can think about like survey lines marking out your inheritance or your land or your space, markers and surveying tools and so forth. David is essentially saying, when God set the boundaries or the measuring marks or set the lines for my life, what he assigned me, it's good. That's the meaning of pleasant places. Like, there's no bad pasture land in David's mind. God didn't give him the, you know, the desert, so to speak. He's saying those boundary lines, those markers that set out his life, man, they're good. And that's striking, because here's what David's saying. He's saying that when he looks at the way his life has been marked out, the boundary line set by God, man, it's a pasture of green, right? And yet David's life was not easy. There were caves, enemies, betrayal, pressure, sin, consequences, dysfunction. And yet he says the lines are pleasant. And why would he say that? I believe it's because he knows the goodness of his life, the pleasantness of his life, the God-ordained pastures in his life, so to speak. They're not defined by the ease of his circumstances. In fact, they're not defined by his circumstances at all. They are instead defined by the presence of God. Remember how he worded these phrases? You are my portion. He's not saying God gave him a portion. He's not saying God gave him an inheritance, though that wouldn't be wrong. He's actually ascribing to God the identity of his inheritance, the identity of goodness. He's saying, God, you are my portion. You are the good of my life. Like, you are my inheritance. That's why you can protect me. This is an amazing psalm, which David helps us realize that all of his identity, all of his connection, you know, all of his purpose, all of his security is vertical. It's found in God. So the goodness of his life is not defined by ease. It's defined by God's presence. The joy of his life is not circumstantial. It's relational. So both of these tie together to show us something, that just as David evaluated his relationship not by circumstances, not by ease, not by the horizontal, he instead evaluated it by vertical proximity, the closeness of God. Yes, this is what he used as the measuring stick, relational proximity. And I don't mean horizontally to other people, I mean to God. David was convinced, and rightly so, that relational proximity to God was the source of his vitality, of his spiritual health, even in moments when his physical health may be failing or may be in question. He was still secure in his body. That's what verse 9 says. And it's because of his relational proximity to God. David was very close to the Lord in all of these uneasy and difficult, even dysfunctional moments. He was close to God. This is why the Bible describes David as a man after God's own heart. That's the closest you can get to someone. And so in so many ways, David here is, again, describing the value he places upon relational proximity to God. So let me take this principle we find in Psalm 16, this principle of relational proximity and its value and importance, its significance to the vitality of our own life. And let me just provide some strong recommendations, some pastoral tips for how we can make sure that we are spiritually growing and moving forward in our relational proximity to God. Like, what brings us closer to God? What things help us know God more? What things increase our spiritual growth and awareness and vitality? Let me just give you five. There may be more. There probably are. Here are five that we emphasize a lot within the First Family universe. First of all, God's Word. It's central. We are a gospel-centered people. We are a word-based people. And we encourage everyone to read their Bible daily. We make Bible reading plans available every January. They're available at the Connect Center even now every Sunday. We have them online. We make sure our preaching is word-centered, text-based. There's not a single Sunday that we don't stay right in the Bible, right in the text. We don't deviate. All of our small groups are text-focused. We do use the message as a way to kind of get into the text, but the message isn't the fundamental root of the small group even. We look into the same text as the message, but we start with the text, not the message. The point is God's word in every single way, our counseling, our worship, our lyrics, our preaching, our resources, they are to be word-based, gospel-centered. And that's why we always strive to be theologically rich, to be word robust, we'll call it. Yes, that's one of the ways, I might say perhaps the primary way, at least one of the top ways, that we continue to increase our spiritual vitality so that we are relationally in greater proximity. We are more close to God and His heart. Next, I would say prayer. And I would combine this with fasting. You could say it's the third one, but I think prayer and fasting go together. These are things that we should be disciplined in, not only closet private prayer, but then also corporate collective prayer. We see this in Acts, that the church met together and prayed together. I'm so thankful for the 5 days of meeting together for prayer in the morning during Passion Week. Every quarter, we have nights of worship in which we pray together and worship together. There's usually a quarterly time that the elders are available for prayer among the congregation, for healing, for guidance, for discretion, for things like that. So we just want to continue to make prayer a normal part of what happens at First Family. We say this often, prayer is our first and best action. And we actually believe that. It's not just a motto or a thing we say. And so let's keep this in mind, that prayer gets us closer to the heart of God. It affects our relational proximity, and that's what we should value, that vertical relational proximity to God more than anything else horizontal. Two of the things I think really affect this, that is mission, and I mean by that God's mission. That's right, God's mission of getting the gospel to the ends of the earth, of making disciples of all nations. That's why we are a multiplying church. That's why we're a sending church, because we believe in the mission of God. And yes, I would agree with you that there are various missional ways. You could put an S on that. There are various missions, and they have their variety, their preferences. They have their unique individualities, all kinds of agencies and organizations and individuals that are involved in the mission of God in their own unique way. So there are many missions in that sense, but I'll contend for this, as I have for years, and I'll contend for it continually. There is one mission for every church. It's the mission of God, and it is Matthew 28. It's those words of Acts 1:8. It's mentioned in every gospel. That's the heart of God, that the gospel goes to those who've yet to hear. And we here at First Family, all of our leadership, every member, we're committed 100% to that mission. And so that's why we are committed to church planting, training in evangelism, missionary sending. And we call for people to be part of planting teams, to go to missionary fields, to live in foreign places for the sake of the gospel. And it's this mission, living life for this purpose and this reason, it's one of the ways that we increase our relational proximity to God, our spiritual vitality. And the last one I'd say is community. And that means just being closely connected to other Christian brothers and sisters. In our environment here, we'd say that's a small group, but it could be other things as well, an equipping class. It could be a relationship that's been ongoing for years. And it could be a relationship with those outside of your church who are solid followers of Christ, disciples, devoted. Yes, all that is part of community. But I will say this, I think the minute you delete the church from that community, you decrease your spiritual vitality and your relational proximity to God. No Christian can really be an effective Christian without the body of Christ. It's important that you are connected. It's important that you are involved. because the body of Christ, the church, is the primary means, the mechanism by which the mission of God is fueled and accomplished. That's where much of the word and prayer and fasting occurs. So all of these different avenues, these, you could call them disciplines or habits, they happen best within the, I'll use the word confines, they happen best within the structure of a church, God's people. It's ordained in the New Testament. And I just want to encourage all of you, as you think about these two phrases in Psalm 116, where David said, the Lord is my portion, and he's the lines he has drawn for me, they're pleasant. This idea that God is his joy and his goodness, that vertical understanding supersedes everything horizontal. That's the kind of relational proximity and spiritual vitality we want to have in relation to God. And the church of Jesus Christ, the body of believers, the living stones, and that's where a lot of this occurs. And I just want to really urge you, keep making First Family Church a priority in your life and in your family. It's not just a man-made idea. It's not just a bunch of guys who want you to join their club and, you know, invest your time there. It is the invention of God. He established it after the death of his son, and he is now building it, and he's moving it forward, and he's accomplishing his mission through it. So value and prioritize the church. It's God's idea. And in doing that, I think you'll find more so, and in an increasing fashion, an increase in your spiritual vitality, and an increase in your relational proximity to God. You will grow closer to God over time as you are more and more genuinely and authentically involved in His church.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.